Hello everybody, and welcome back to Noisy Women, the podcast. I am delighted to share with you this episode because I've just finished recording it and it was really lovely. This is a very niche thing to have, but when you kind of record podcasts often and you're always talking to people, you kind of forget how lovely it is to have a really important chat. Most of this season was recorded really closely together. It's been a little while since I've had like a strong conversation with another woman about being in this industry, and we've just finished having this chat and it was really lovely, and I just feel really inspired and really full of life. The episode you're about to listen to is with Kirsten Evans. She is a composer and vocalist. She's worked on the I'm Greta documentary, which was on Hulu, and it's also worked on the latest Marvel film that will be coming out soon. It's really cool to hear from someone working within composing because it's an industry that I have genuinely no idea about, like not the slightest clue. So it's really cool to hear from her, kind of what she's been through, how the last few years have been for her. She's originally from the UK. She's done a stint in Sweden working with a composer out there. She's not afraid to travel for her job, and she's working on a bunch of different projects to kind of just further her career and kind of make way within her industry. I really hope you enjoy this chat. I really hope that it's something that you put on while you're on your walk or you're cooking your dinner. I hope it really inspires you like it's inspired me. I hope everyone's also doing okay. The podcast has been doing really well recently. It seems that a lot of new people have been listening, which is really fun. I'm really, really grateful that there's some new people joining us. And if you're new, hello, please make sure you go listen to all of the other fantastic people that have been in the season so far. I'm so blessed to be able to talk to such wonderful, wonderful talent. If you have been enjoying the season, if you could give this a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, make sure you subscribe, share it with your friends, share it on your Instagram stories, tag me and everything. All my links are in the description box. It's always really exciting when I can see other people listening and know that there's an audience out there who actually tune in. So please make sure to share it because I truly love reading through everyone's comments so much. So thank you for the support. Without further ado, I'm going to hand over to the conversation. I hope you enjoy, and I will speak to you guys soon. Bye now. So, hello everybody, and welcome back to Noisy Women, the podcast. I'm here with Kirsten Evans. She's a composer and vocalist. She's worked on the Hulu doc, I'm Greta, as well as an upcoming Marvel movie. She sent me a little email summarizing all of this, and it was all really cool. And I was like, yeah, I'd like to talk to you. So thank you for agreeing to chat on this.
Of course.
Is it a Sun? What day are we on for you? Is it a Sunday morning or a
Saturday morning? Yes.
Saturday morning.
Yeah. I'm 8 hours behind.
I find time difference. I know this is irrelevant, but I find it like the strangest concept in the world. Yeah. The same with flying. I don't understand how planes can fly. I don't, or boats can float. And I don't understand time difference. I am a 22-year-old, very well-educated female, but yeah. I just don't understand how those things work. I just can't get my head around it.
No, I have to say, I'm still not used to trying to talk to people back in the UK. And being like, oh yeah, no, so what are you going to do for the rest of the day? And it's like 10 p.m. at night for them, and you think, oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, honestly. Yep. I'm just like, so I'm in the middle of making my dinner. Tonight we're having a vegetarian moussaka, which I have never made, but I've become the chef of the house during lockdown because lockdown's got to me that badly that I've decided to cook for everyone every night and they do the washing up, which is the deal. I don't mind, but I was like, I'm bored of cooking the same old things. So now we're having a moussaka, which I don't even really know what it is.
No, I don't know what that is, but it sounds nice. It sounds
fancy. It smells delicious, so hopefully it's nice, but I don't know. So how did you begin working as a composer / vocalist? Kind of what's the journey been for you?
Yeah, I mean, I started learning about music when I was very young, and I think I must have been like 8 when they forced us to learn the recorder, and I was terrible, but I always wanted this little prize that they gave out. It was like a fluffy, I don't even know what it was. It was a pom-pom with feet and eyes. And I was like, I'm going to get this. And I never did. I was so bad.
That's so funny. Honestly, I remember, like, I swear British schools were just the that everyone played the recorder. Yeah. It was just a thing. It's the only instrument anyone ever learned.
Yeah, no, when I was packing up my stuff to come and just sort of look at LA, I found this recorder and was like, oh my God, this is bringing back nightmares. It's terrible. But yeah, no, started learning music and I started learning how to play the piano and was, again, I mean, nowhere near very good, but you know, it was fun. And then decided, you know what, I like singing, I'm going to do this. And I think, I don't know, it was during my GCSEs, so I assume I was like 14 when I decided, okay, I'm going to have singing lessons, sort of went on from there, then did the standard progression of like, I'm going to do all of these exams plus some music exams, why not, throw them in there. And yeah, then continued, did some classical training, so I was actually going to be an opera singer, and then I love it, but it's not for me. It's just not. It's yeah, you have to be a very certain type of person, I think, which is brilliant. And I'm like, if you're an opera singer, that's amazing. But yeah, not for me. So I think I was training and then I started this music degree and I was like, you know what? I just can't do this. So I basically decided one day while I was on the phone to my dad, I'm just going to switch. I'm going to quit this course and I'm going to do something else. And I had a couple of other friends that were doing composition. And I was like, you know what, that sounds good. They seem to be having fun on their course. I'm going to go and do this composition course. And the first uni I was at was in Cardiff. And I was doing all this classical singing and I would walk past the other university that everyone else was, all my friends were going to. And it was literally around the corner. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go there. And I think I was like 3 weeks into this first course before I decided that it wasn't for me. And then got accepted, which was very nice. Started the next year doing a composition course at Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama. And yeah, and then basically it was a mixture of getting to know people there and opportunities coming through that, and also just kind of putting myself out there, sending emails to people and just saying, yep, I'll do things, even if I had no idea how to do anything. So that kind of led on to me then being able to just send emails to film composers. And then I basically, I must have sent quite a few emails, like 30 to 50 emails to just random people that I'd stalked on the internet. And someone replied. I was very surprised. And then basically it meant that this random email that I'd sent from like my bed in my uni bedroom, that one email was replied to by someone called John Ekstrand, who's a Swedish composer. And then that started my, I suppose, journey to Sweden, where I then moved to Stockholm. And yeah, then I started working for him on these I Am Greta and Marvel movies, and which is, yeah, baffling, because I had no experience at the time.
That's really cool though, because it just shows that you were like, oh, I have this urge to do this thing. I don't just want to be sat in Cardiff. I'm just going to send all these emails and hopefully someone will reply. And like I always say, everyone always says to me like, oh, how do you do what you do, or how do these people do what they do? And I'm like, they just send emails and don't be too sad if no one replies. And that's like, that's such a good point, in that you sent an email, you weren't sure, and then someone replied and something great came out of it. And here we are.
No, completely. You just have to, like, the worst thing that can happen is that they don't reply. Oh, well, you kind of just move on with your life, and then you send an email to someone else. And if they reply, great. If not, do it again.
Honestly, I think there must be so many sent emails in my inbox that just never been replied to, and that's fine. Like, and also I found that those people who haven't replied, like 5 years or however, like 3 years down the line, I've ended up bumping into anyway, and they'd be like, oh, I was meant to reply, just completely forgot. And I'm like, cool, I'm sorry. In an ideal world, what's kind of like a massive project that you'd like love to work on?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I mean, when I was younger, I always wanted to make like a big pop album. But I suppose now, I mean, I'd love to work on a big feature film. That would be amazing. Just a really, I want to say a really creepy film. That kind of, sounds a bit strange to want to do that. But I love the idea of just getting to write whatever music I want and it kind of just fits in. Because you know, when you watch like a horror film and you have all these weird sounds of like scraping and things in the background. That sounds great. You just get to like hit things and then put it into your music, and then here it is, and you send it off to someone, and the director's like, yeah, that's amazing, it works really well with this horror film. But yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, I would love to still keep everything as varied as possible, but the dream, big pop album and a big film, who wouldn't love that?
Nice. I feel like those things are definitely possible, considering so far you've already done and like worked on two huge projects. So like working on something that big, I feel like it's definitely possible. What was the experience like working on like the I'm Greta and the Marvel movie? Like, I don't know anything about that world, so please tell me what it was like, because it sounds really cool.
yeah so my day to day for a long time whilst I was in Sweden was to go to John's studio, and it was very sweet. He set me up a little, I had a little Hawaiian room, we used to call it, because he just moved into this new studio and he hadn't quite renovated all the rooms. And I was sat in this room that had this big like mural of a Hawaiian beach. It was hilarious. So
amazing. That's so
I used to sit in the Hawaiian room. I used to make sound design for the film, like musical sound design. So I would take random sounds and morph them into things that would fit with the main music that John was writing for the film. And I would make sort of 100 big boom sounds or 20 million different bat sounds, and just we would like plop them into the score. And it was a really good experience to just work out how the film industry works, because I had no idea at the time. I had no idea who did what job and who on earth I was speaking to whenever I was told, yes, can you email like the music editor? And I was like, I have no idea what this person does, but sure, yeah, I'll talk to them. Yeah, and gradually over, I worked for John for a year. I still work for him now occasionally, but I got to know a lot about the film industry. So actually halfway through the year, because of, you know, the pandemic, that thing, in March, I had to leave Sweden and I had to go back to the UK. And that meant that I was working remotely. I wasn't allowed in the Hawaiian room anymore. I had to do everything via my laptop and try and control this computer that was still in Sweden whilst I was sat in my mum's spare bedroom. And that's when all of the projects were finishing. So we had the I Am Greta documentary finishing, and we had, there's a film called Horizon Line, which is like an airplane crash situation, that was also finishing. And then the Marvel film that we were doing was also finishing. So that meant I have to export all of the music and I had to do everything separately. And it took weeks to do all these things, especially seeing as it was remotely. So I was literally just sat in this room, kind of, you press export for one thing and it takes 5 minutes to go through all the music and create this music file at the end. And during those 5 minutes, I'd try and do all the other stuff I was supposed to do, but also like I hadn't been outside the entire time I was trying to do all these exports, so I was sort of like stretching. And yeah, it was a very strange situation. But I always used to wonder why people, a lot of people, especially here in LA, they always joke and say, oh, it's a like a wonder that films ever get made. And I was always really confused by that, because everyone seems so organized, and you have these producers saying, okay, you need to do this by this deadline, and you need to do this by this time. And it was like, everything's so organized, why are they saying that it's a surprise that anything gets made? And then you get to the end and everyone is so rushed and so stressed, and it's like, yep, okay, that's why they say this. But it was a great experience, and yeah, I mean, I'm more than happy that I did it and we got it done, so that was very good, very proud.
Yeah, it just sounds like such, when even when you were saying like the ins and outs and the cogs turning, it sounds so interesting from a complete outsider's perspective that I would not know where on earth you even begin with something like that. And it must be so cool just to be like, okay, so this is my job now. I'm just going to do this. And then I'm going to hear the music on a massive piece of film and I help do that. And like, that's how I feel doing my job. But it's even cooler when it's like film and TV. I think it's like a whole other edge of coolness.
Yeah, I mean, I feel super lucky to have actually been able to even just watch these things happen and watch the process. Yeah, because we got to see the film develop over time, all of these different things as they send us new edits. And it really is fascinating just to watch other people work and create these things that then, you know, you just enjoy on a Saturday evening and you don't really think about it. It's, yeah, fascinating to see the way that you go from just a load of clips all together to this final film that you just get to enjoy for pleasure. It's great.
Yeah, just seeing all of the how that whole thing operates, yeah, is a really cool insight in itself. Do you have any advice for other women or non-binary people or men, if they're listening to this, who are trying to get into a similar industry to what you're working in and don't know how to get that first foot in the door, perhaps?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's definitely hard at the moment, but that doesn't mean to say don't carry on. I think the most important thing is realizing that no matter what skill set you have a talent in something and you just have to go with that. You just have to try and say, this is what I'm good at. I'm going to be really helpful. You know, I can help you do this one thing that I'm amazing at. And you just have to email people. You just have to say, hi, this is me. I love your stuff. Maybe we could talk. Maybe we could talk. Maybe we could meet up. Well, maybe not meet up, maybe Zoom. But it's remembering that, yes, you're great in your bedroom, but you're never going to get somewhere if you don't actually say something about it to other people. So you might as well just shamelessly promote yourself to the ends of the earth, and your friends and family on your social media will learn to love it, or they'll just learn to ignore it.
It's so interesting, because that's the thing that most people always say. It's just this, like, you've got to be the one to make the first move and be the one to just say, I think you're cool, let's just hang out. And I think it takes a certain confidence perhaps in a person to do it, but I think when you find the people around you who support you and also the ability just to go out and do it,
yeah,
it's quite rewarding. I would assume you agree with that. It's so rewarding when you see a plan come to fruition. You're like, oh cool, we did that.
Yeah, no, it's the best thing to look back and think, yeah, I got to do all of this because I sent an email. Like, it's really quite baffling. But yeah, and I mean, definitely, you were saying when you have the support of your friends and family, that makes an enormous difference. But also, even if they're not as supportive, because obviously if you go into music, sometimes people are a bit worried for you, which, you know, can make sense. But you just have to keep in mind, that if you're really passionate about it, and you really can't see yourself doing anything else, that you just kind of have to go for it. And yeah, you're only going to get something if people actually find out who you are. And obviously you definitely have to have your social media presence and your website and everything like that set up. But yeah, just shove it in people's faces. Obviously not in a horrible way, but just make sure they see it, basically.
I remember you saying in your email as well that you're working on a few different business bits as well. So there's a sample library called Soundbake, as well as, are you beginning to launch a coaching business? Am I right?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a bit about like how those projects came about and where you aim to kind of head with them, I guess?
Yeah. Okay. So Soundbake is a company that I started in, I want to say June, who knows, somewhere in the midst of the pandemic. And it's basically a company that makes software for composers. So it makes things called virtual instruments or sample libraries, which are basically just bits of software that encase sounds that mean that a composer can put interesting ideas into their music easily just by playing something on a keyboard. Yeah, so this basically came from when I was sitting in John's spare Hawaiian room making these a million boom sounds. And I was thinking, I have a lot of these just random files now that contain all of these really interesting sounds. And so basically I started putting them into these pieces of software that I would code for John so that he didn't just have reams and reams of files he'd have to scroll through every time he wanted to put one of these things into his piece of music. And yeah, to my surprise, actually the coding was okay and I managed to make this piece of software and it worked. So that was a good plus. But yes, then basically once I got back to the UK and I was thinking, okay, you know, the world's imploded. Now what do I do? I realized that I actually really enjoyed making these pieces of software and that I had a lot of other recordings that I could make. So I decided to start selling these instruments. And yeah, I think Soundbake is a I think I quite like the name. I think it's quite cute, but it's definitely a different brand to the other companies that exist in the same realm. So the film music industry is quite, I mean, it's just male dominated. I think there was some sort of statistic that I read that I think in 2020, out of the top 100 films, I think only 3% of those scores were written by women. So it's it's enormously...
That's like next level.
Yeah.
Crikey.
Very male dominated. So, and as a reflection, all of these sample library software, music software companies, they're just very masculine, even when it comes down to their marketing. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the opposite. And I'm just going to do something that reflects my personality. And so I came up with Soundbake, and like the first page is this pink background that has sort of a fruit pile that comes up and a picture of the software. And I was like, you know what, that sounds great. And yeah, I didn't intend necessarily to make it non-male looking, but I think from the feedback that I've had about it, it's a nice change for people, because you do just tend to see the same things. And I mean, it's just trying to diversify that part of the industry slightly more and saying, you know what, you can still have a good product, but it doesn't have to be epic, or it doesn't have to be enormous like every other different product is. So yeah, I think with Soundbake, I'm just gonna keep plodding away. It's kind of a hobby more than anything. But actually, when it comes to my other company, which is something I'm doing in collaboration with my partner, it's called Ugly Cat. It's a coaching company for basically freelance musicians who want to actually start making money with music rather than having to rely on, you know, working in a shop or something like that, because they have the talent, but it's just especially now getting out there. But Ugly Cat is something that, yeah, I definitely think we need, because at the moment it seems to be that everyone says you have to know someone to be able to get into the industry, but actually finding someone to know is very difficult. Both my partner and I seem to have managed to worm our way into the industry somehow and try and make it work for ourselves. And we see our friends who maybe haven't been able to do so, but they're super talented. And it's just sad to think that just because they haven't been able to network basically in the right way, that they're not as far along as they maybe could be. So we've started this company to just try and help people gain the confidence to send out those emails, to try and talk to new people, or even, you know, call someone up randomly and call up an agent and say, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And yeah, I mean, it seems to be really helping, which is great. And it's just to give a little bit of insight into what people want to see as well, because yeah, working for composers, obviously you get, if it's just a one-on-one situation, you actually get to know them quite well, and they obviously trust you, and you form a friendship basically. And I remember someone that I worked for, they would tell me about all the horrible emails that they'd receive, and they would just be ridiculous things like, hi blah blah blah, whoever you are, I saw that you did this, I thought this bit wasn't actually that great about the thing that you created, so maybe because I'm really good at that thing I can help you, and yes, you need to work with me and I'll make your life better and your music better, see you later. And it was like, no, you don't do that. Yeah, so it's just helping people. This coaching business is just to help people actually feel like they're doing something with their own lives, and that they have autonomy in terms of where they want their career to go, rather than feeling that they have to rely on other people all the time.
Yeah, no, I completely get that. I think one-to-one coaching is also, as you were saying, this industry is really, I think, hard to crack if you're not a quite confident and outgoing person who perhaps is, I think, like both of us, quite good at talking and not scared to send that first email or DM that person, and there's no fear in that sense. But if you're not quite our person, like not quite that type of person, having companies like that is honestly ideal to kind of funnel the people into being able to talk confidently and giving them that kind of push to sometimes all someone needs is just to be told, look, you're doing the right thing, you're doing it like this, just tweak this one thing and you're fine. And that's all the confidence they need to kind of be pushed and propelled into a career. But if they don't have that person telling them that, then they're not going to know if they're, what they're doing is right, and they'll be disheartened. So I think companies like that sound perfect. It's what we need.
Yeah. because it's not to say that myself or my partner have got super far in our careers, but it's enough to have at least felt like we started. And I think that's, as you say, that's all anyone needs, is just that little bit of encouragement and support, that feeling of support to just get something started. Because then as soon as you've got it started, it always seems to be that, yes, you have ups and downs, but you know, you have a forward trajectory and you do meet people along the way and things tend to happen. So it's just having that friendly face to say, you know, just if you just do this, it tends to work. So try that and see what happens.
Yeah, no, that's sweet. I love that. And I was looking at the Soundbake website page as well, and I was like, this is perfect. I was like, I can imagine that it's not an industry that I know much about, but I can imagine everything looks quite corporate and quite beige. But I was just looking at the webpage and I was like, this is so fun. Like, I'm such a colourful person. I was like, there's so many colours and like fruits, and this is great. Big fan of that.
Thank you. Yeah, they normally have loads of drone shots of snow covered forests.
They honestly, every stupid corporate webpage has that.
Yeah, like if I see another one of those forests, I'm just going to run away screaming.
That's a very relatable, very relatable thing to say. I honestly do think it's like that with most webpages. It's the same with like stock image sites. Yeah. I'm like, but they just all look ugly.
All look
ugly.
They do. So boring.
What's your favourite part of what you do? So what your current day-to-day looks like, what's your favourite part of it?
Yeah, I think my favourite part of the favourite part of just working with music all the time is it's just getting to be creative every single day. And yeah, okay, you might have the pressure of, okay, you need to write X amount of music by the end of the week or something like that. But if you take a step back from that stress and you think, I write music for a living and I get paid to write music. I mean, even just that's the best part, I would say, actually. It's just having someone be willing to pay you to write music. It feels like an enormous privilege to be able to say that, to say that I get to do the thing that I love to do as my job, because not everyone gets to say that. And especially at this stage where I've just come out of uni, to be able to say, yep, I trained to do something and someone is willing to pay me now. I think it's enormous privilege. And I mean, I get to write really strange things. The other week I wrote some medieval music, and it was great. How often do you get to do that? You never get to do that. And again, someone was like, yeah, I'm going to pay you to write medieval music. I was like, you know what, if you want to go for it, I would love to. But yeah, you just get to do so many things, and yeah, someone trusts you enough to be able to do that. And then you just get to sit there every single day. You wake up and you think, I'm going to write some music now. Then you eat some food. Then you go to bed.
That is the loveliest way to sum up like what you do in a nutshell. And that was just so nice. I really enjoyed that. I do think it's true though. And I think it's something a lot of creatives sometimes forget, is that actually we're also, it's hard because like, we're all so lucky for what we do, but obviously it comes with burnout and a bunch of other stuff because most of us are self-employed, and it's a long old struggle. But to be able to just sit back and be like, no, this is part of my career, like I am paid to do these things, and it is a really like nice sometimes pinch me moment to be like, oh, I'm my own boss and I'm doing these cool things and no one's telling me really what to do, I just get to make all day and that's fun. I know what you mean, that at a young age, just out of uni, it feels like an absolute privilege to be able to sit here and record a podcast and be like, cool, that's part of my job, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad to be able to say that your creativity is actually valued. And I think that's an enormous confidence boost, even if you have a bad day, just to think that someone else likes your music enough to even listen to it. I mean, that's pretty exciting to think that someone else that you don't even know actually listens to your music. I mean, I find that fascinating. I still feel like it doesn't happen. Like, I still feel like I just put my music out there and no one ever listens to it. But no, people actually listen to it. And that's such a motivator.
Oh, I enjoyed that. That was lovely. Do you have any women that you want to give a little shout out to who, as you were saying, obviously the industry is very one-sided, so any women you want to shout out and just say, hey, they're doing cool things, can be across like any field.
Oh wow, okay. So there's a woman that I worked with who is also a composer, and she was the co-composer of I'm Greta with John, and her name's Rebecca Carriord. Rebecca is great. She used to be an actress and then has moved over to becoming a musician and a composer, and it seems to be that her career is just skyrocketing at the moment, and she makes wonderfully intimate music, and it's definitely something that people should check out because she's got albums coming out left, right and center, and she's working on new films, and yeah, she's definitely a powerhouse, especially in European film, just because that's not necessarily as wide an industry as you would say the Hollywood film industry is. And yeah, she's definitely paving the way for female and basically anyone who's not male composers within the film industry. Yeah, so she's pretty brilliant.
She sounds like a cool lady. She sounds like someone that we should interview on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Always linking. No, it's always nice to hear other people. Always nice. Just to... I know so many people who do what I do, but then I can only progress so far in my networking skills. I need other people's little heads to be like, oh, that person. I'm like, oh, thank you. At the moment, what does a day in your life look like?
Yes, so obviously work is slightly more sporadic than normal at the moment, but so yes, sometimes I get asked to write additional music for things, which then just means I kind of wake up, I have this idea in mind, I sit down, write this music, and then send it off to whoever's asked me to write the extra music. Other days I could be exporting music and sending it off to various mixers or producers and things, again for someone else. It's a lot of freelance work for other people at the moment, which I'm very fortunate to have a network of people who continue to ask me to do that. But when I don't have people coming to me, I actually just fill my time by making like soothing music videos, which is it's so fun to make. And honestly, sometimes I sit there and like I listen back to the music that I've written and I genuinely find myself just daydreaming and just drifting off. And I'm like, you know what? That means it's done. There you go.
That's such a cool little like way to spend your day that isn't like, oh, I just make music for important things. Sometimes I just make music for fun.
Yeah, no, it's true. And then I started like a little YouTube channel with basically just stock images and my music. And it's, you know what? It's really fun. It's great to just sit there and be like, you know what? I'm going to write some music to help people sleep and then just find some pictures of the sky. Done. It's just super low pressure.
So final question. Yeah. What has been your biggest pinch me moment so far? Something that's happened over the course of either being at uni or in the last year, you've kind of been like, ah, I'm doing this.
Yeah. Okay. So I would actually say that it was when I was given some funding by Help Musicians UK to make an installation. So I built this room, essentially, that was it's a sensory room for children that introduces them to the families of the orchestra through touch and play. So I managed to persuade more or less 40 people to work for free for me to build this room while I spent all my money on materials and create this box where I got some designers to help me to basically put up some walls. Okay, I had no idea how to do that, but I then managed to persuade them to stick Lego to the walls along with melt crayons and, you know, the silicone that you put like that filler stuff around the edge of a bath, the squidgy.
Yes, I know. It's like that polyfiller, but not polyfiller. Yeah. It's like a sealant thing. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I also managed to persuade these designers to make like squidgy patterns out of this polyfiller sealant stuff that came in a tube and just kind of decorate this entire room with really random toys from just anywhere that I could find all these materials. And then basically I wrote some music, stuck it in the room, and then kids went in and drew on all the walls. and someone gave me some funding to do that.
That sounds like a big pinch me. That is an exciting time.
You know what? I did actually, while I was building this thing, it was in this warehouse and I was there way too late on like a Friday evening until like 2 a.m. just because I was having fun sticking Lego to a wall or something. And I realized I thought I got myself locked into this industrial unit because there was a big gate with a padlock, and I went to drive out and was like, right, okay, I've obviously been locked into this unit. And then it got so far as that I tried to climb under the gate. There was a 6-inch gap under the gate. I tried to squidge under there, and I tried to move these enormous industrial bins to the fence to try and climb over, and then realized, no, I'm gonna drop to the floor and break my leg if I go over the other edge. And then because I was so tired from working on this project because I'd stayed there building Legos, that basically I hadn't realized I had a key to the padlock the entire time.
Amazing.
And then
the bed.
And I was like, oh, well, I'm glad there's no one here to see that I just tried to do all these things, but there's probably some security camera somewhere with me trying to climb over this fence. It was a very surreal project, I have to say.
I just love that. Reminds me so much of like an A-level art project that I'd walk into the art department and someone would be like, I'd be like, what are you doing, Matt? I'm just sticking some Lego to a wall. It reminds me so vividly of just weird old projects involving materials that you just never use and never had used and probably would never use again. But it makes sense. It completely makes sense.
It makes sense at the time. And then you look back at it and you're like, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
It looks good, but...
Amazing.
What a strange process. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been so lovely to chat and also so nice to hear about an industry that is so misrepresented, but that I just would never have had an insight into otherwise. So it's been lovely to hear your thoughts and also know if anyone is listening to this and kind of wants a foot in the door, like how they can kind of go about it. It's just really nice to hear all the like ins and outs. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for having me. It's been such an experience. I love it.
Where can the listeners find you online? Give yourself a shout out, and then I'll make sure to leave everything in the description box of the podcast as well.
Cool. Yes. So my Instagram is Kirsten H. Evans, and then also my Soundbake company, that it has its own Instagram that's just Soundbake, but I try and update my website as well, which is kirstenevans.co.uk.
Amazing, thank you. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. You can find me over on Instagram at Emily Marcofecchio. I'm not going to try and spell it. I'm just going to leave it in the show notes. That's probably my most asked question, is how do you say my surname? If you're looking for the rest of the season, they're either viewable where you're listening to this, or if you go onto my website, which is www.emilyanna.net/noisywomens1 or noisywomens2, you'll find season 1 and 2 listed there. On those sites has the links to all of the guests I've had on so far, a bit of a blurb about what the podcast is about, and all other good stuff. I hope you come back for the next episode, and it was lovely to have you here.